Friends, in Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, from the first epistle of St. Peter, in the first chapter, verses 6 through 9, Peter writes these words, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is God's word. Please be seated. I can't believe in a God who would, and then you fill in the blank, a God who would let a young person die, or let me get cancer, or a God who would pull out the rug financially from under me, or a God who would give me a disease, or in other words, I can't believe in a God who would do anything that I don't like. Isn't that what we're really saying? Well, let me tell you a couple of stories that hopefully will strengthen your faith in God. Save yourself! Come down from the cross! Those words cut deeper every time they were hurled at him. Crowds had once hung on his every word, but now the crowds were using words against him viciously. He saved others, they said. He can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of the Jews, come down from the cross that we may see and believe. All of which was just another way of saying, there is no way I could ever believe in a God who would do that to his own son. Alone and scorned in the darkness, he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But no answer would come to his prayer. How can we believe in a God who would abandon his own son and not even hear his prayer in his greatest time of need? On January 12th of this year, Odinel, a mother of six, was preparing rice and beans for a family dinner in their first floor apartment. The children were playing, five of them were playing inside, one was playing outside. One moment the day was like any other day, and the next moment suddenly this entire apartment building is crashing down around them. Stunned and confused, Odinel was able to dig herself free, but she feared for the five of her children who had been inside along with her. And she said, "I was screaming out for my children as I was pulling pieces of concrete off me, but I heard nothing from them. I was sure that they were dead." The silence that Odinel faced was deafening. The 7.0 magnitude that earthquake that struck Haiti and killed nearly a quarter of a million people has again left the world staring into the abyss, facing the reality that this is a dark, dark world. When we aren't entertaining or distracting ourselves into drunken denial, we are sore pressed by the brutality of this world on so many levels. Wars, terrorist attacks, broken families, car accidents, disasters, diseases, lost jobs, in so many ways, and you've heard it, it's as if the world is taunting us, "Oh, you go right on ahead, you call out to your God in the darkness, and you see if he can save you." And we cry out for help. And what does it get us? The same thing it got Jesus. Deafening, frightening silence. How many Christians have prayed for healing to no avail? Oh, sure, there are some who beat the odds, but what about the rest of them? How many people cry out to God about a failed relationship and it never does get mended? How many people are crying out in despair because of the lack of employment and still they are unemployed? Did God ignore the cries of those thousands of people in Haiti who died in that earthquake? My God, has he abandoned us? Because it sure seems like it. Who could believe in a God like that? As Jesus drew closer and closer to his death, everyone around him was losing faith. After all, how could the crucifixion of Jesus be the arrival of his kingdom that he preached so forcefully? But he refused to give up his hope that the kingdom of God was close at hand, even as he refused to get himself down from that cross. He did not call upon the legions of the angels to help him, who gladly would have helped him if he had asked. And instead of cursing God for the silence of unanswered prayer and the oppressive darkness around him, he, and some would say he foolishly, threw himself into the hands of his God, trusting God, hoping in God against hope. He threw himself headlong into the destructive path of death itself, and to the despair of his followers, death did not yield to him until it crushed him under its feet. Under the crushing weight of 6 or 7 stories of a collapsed building, 7-year-old Kiki and his 10-year-old sister Sabrina and their little brother had been buried alive, tucked into a small concrete underneath all the concrete next to the corpses of their 2 siblings. They were trapped and alone and thirsty and frightened and weak. Days passed and there was no one to rescue them. Mom could hear them crying a little bit for help, begging for water, but she was powerless to do anything to help them. 2 days after the earthquake, the littlest one, the little brother, died underneath all that rubble. But Kiki and Sabrina clung to each other and waited and hoped. Though it would have been very much simpler for them to despair and to slip away in death like their little brother, they continued to hope against hope that they would be saved, and they found solace in each other, strengthened by the fact that they were not alone in the darkness. And when it seems that God is far away, we too are strengthened to know that we are not alone in the darkness. Like Kiki and Sabrina, it's important that we face the harsh realities of this dark and fallen world in the company of one another. If we try to go it alone, the darkness will swallow us up. We simply aren't strong enough to face it on our own. God has given us, each other, this community of the saints so that we are there for each other to build up each other's faith in the fiery trial and in the testing of our faith as we face this world's darkness, so that we can remind each other of what Peter said. He said, "You rejoice, though you do for a while have to suffer various trials. These are that the genuineness of your faith may be tested, for your faith is more precious than gold, though it perishes, it is tested by fire, and so that your faith may be found to result to the praise and glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And you are obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We need to speak those words to each other in the face of our trials. Those words are not written to individuals. They are written to Christian communities. Because without the community of Christ gathered around the cross of Christ, the road ahead of us would be far too difficult for us. And when we stare death in the face, as it relentlessly pursues us, we need each other. That's what the hymnist said. When all things seem against me, no. When all things seem against us, to drive us to despair, we know one ear is open. One ear will hear our prayer. We're in it together. On Friday, they laid Jesus' body in the tomb. He had stared death in the face, and it had swallowed him whole. It looked like the kingdom that he had preached was never going to come. He was just another dead Messiah, a failure. In a world where the strong conquer, he had been weak. In a world where wisdom reigns, he had been completely foolish. In a world in which death has the final say, even now he was dead. The dark and the unforgiving world around us had once again asserted its strength. And yet this time it was different. This time, as death pressed down on this weak and foolish Jesus, it began to lose its iron grip. And on Sunday morning, the way of the world was shown to be a fraud because Jesus, the crucified weakling and failure, was alive again. His foolishness, the foolishness of love, had proved to be true wisdom. And his weakness, a heart for others, had proved to be strength. And in those moments, the world that we all thought we knew was turned completely upside down. A week after the earthquake, Kiki and Sabrina's aunt returned to the family's destroyed apartment building to look for some belongings. By this time, they thought the children had perished under the rubble, all of them. But then she heard some muffled cries again. So happens, at that moment, there were about 20 American rescue workers who were walking past, and she called for them, and they moved in to help. And after 4 hours of digging and cutting through that crushed concrete, they came upon Kiki, who was huddled there next to his siblings and the corpses of his dead siblings. And shortly thereafter, they were able to pull Sabrina out from behind the metal chair. And after 8 days without food or water, these two children were reunited with their mother amidst tears and laughter. The foolish hope of those children, crying out in the darkness, had finally been realized. The story of Kiki and Sabrina, and countless stories like it, are modern parables that teach us that the humble ways of faith and of hope and of togetherness are the ways of God. The world around us scoffs at those things, mocks them as a way of foolishness. But our assurance is that the outcome of our faith in Christ is nothing short of true rescue on the other side of death. As Peter wrote, again in verses 8 and 9, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. For you are obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Though we don't see God, we know that he is saving us from this world and from its diseases and its wars and its broken relationships and its disasters. The eyes of faith had revealed that the true God that we worship and love is not somewhere way out there, outside of our darkness. But he's here with us, right in the midst of this dark world that we live in. For our God resides in the crucified one. "You'd be foolish to believe in a God like that," the world says. To which we say, yes, and we will be fools right along with Jesus Christ. And we will have the audacity to believe in the midst of this darkness that we are receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.